The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Quick trivia question for you, Jason. How much did I pay for my protein bar at the vending machine right now? You never buy anything for the vending machine. I couldn't believe it.
I'm throwing out $6.
No, it's not that expensive, but $3.79.
Well, that doesn't sound that expensive. I thought you were
a protein bar.
I thought you were asking me because it was outrageous. $3.
I think $3.79 is a lot.
No.
All right, join us right now, as he does every Friday, as best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. He's brought to you by Golfdom. They can custom fit you for the new GT medals from Titleist, new Apex irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for winter golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. How's everybody? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Now, happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah, it is Hanukkah. I think third night, fourth night. I'm not sure.
Third night was last night.
Okay.
I know that because of my sister.
So Christmas Day, the football games were on Netflix. Did John Feinstein, I'm not even sure if you have Netflix, did you watch the NFL games?
I don't have Netflix, I did not watch the NFL games. I would have watched them.
All right.
But so I did not have that option.
Did you watch the NBA? We had an interesting poll.
I watched the NBA on and off, but I was switching over to Christmas movies a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we had an interesting poll where we basically asked our listeners, what did you watch? And almost 3,000 votes. And if you just combined football and NBA, and then only NBA, only 12% watched some NBA. What's your opinion on why people seem to be out on the NBA?
Yeah, you know, this has been discussed a lot this season. The three-point shot has become so dominant. You know, you watch the games, and I do watch on occasion, and the ball comes up, it swings somewhere, or somebody penetrates and kicks, and they take a three-point shot. It's amazing because I was around, obviously, when the three-point shot first came in the pros and then in college basketball, how dominant it's become at the college level, too, but especially the NBA level, because everybody shoots it. And it doesn't seem like you're watching a lot of basketball in the sense of, you know, moving the ball and getting the ball inside. I remember when the three first came into the college game, John Thompson said, if you get 3 points for making a long jumper, you should get 4 points for making a layup because it's harder to get a layup than it is to get an open 3-point shot. And he was right. And it's become just sort of a 3-point shooting battle in the NBA. And again, I don't watch a lot of NBA, but I watch enough to know. I watched enough on Christmas Day to know that it's just a shooting contest. I can remember when I was a kid when teams scoring 100 was a big deal. Now they score 100 3/4.
Yeah, easily.
John, we went to the Wizards game together last week against Charlotte, and LaMelo Ball jacked up 10 threes in the first quarter.
Yep.
Yep. 18 for the game.
Yeah.
He was 3 for 18.
Yeah. 3 for 18.
Yeah.
And do you think that prevented him from taking 18 shots the next night?
Oh, he played
the night after that.
Yeah, he played last night and took 13, I think. So that's what he does. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a little bit down for him. Mm-hmm. But he's not unique. I mean, a lot of these guys. I mean, Steph Curry takes all sorts of threes, but he should, because he makes them.
Right.
And there are guys who make a high percentage of threes. I mean, I remember, again, when the three-point shot first came into college ball, 33%, 1 for 3, because that equaled 2 for 3, was considered good. Now you shoot 33%, you either don't play or you get cut.
Yeah, and you know Goodell's going to, with the success that and the money that Netflix paid just to have the two games, they $150 million they paid the NFL. They're going to continue to do that. They might have a triple header next Christmas, which is a Thursday, a lot like they do on Thanksgiving. So we'll see. All right.
Well, hopefully by then I'll have Netflix.
Okay. Hey, listen, we got to talk about Coach L, Jim Larrañaga.
Yep.
Huge story. He decided it's, you know, NIL and portals just not for me. He's 75 right. years old. He says he's exhausted. And I had heard rumors from a pretty good source that he was going to step down before the season started, John, but he obviously didn't, and he waited 12 games in. So they're having a bad year. They've lost 8 of 9 games, but he also lost 8 players, I think, from the Final Four team. So it's a hard business now. And your thoughts on Coach L?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry. I mean, I like Jim. I've known Jim since he was an assistant at Virginia, mm-hmm. for crying out loud, with Ralph Sampson. He's a good guy. He's got a great sense of humor. He's a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, let's make that clear. He should be in the Hall of Fame, if only for taking George Mason to the Final Four, for crying out loud. But he also took Miami to the Final Four and had him in another Elite Eight and 2 more Sweet 16s. He was very successful at Miami. He was obviously very successful at George Mason, and that program hasn't been the same since he left. He called me about 2 months ago before the season started, and he was very discouraged. He was like, we've got to do something about the effect of the NILs. He had just gotten through dealing with some agent whose player was looking to transfer, and the money asked for was just outrageous. And he said, this guy's not worth that kind of money, even if you're in a market where it's routine to pay players money. And they're asking for ridiculous amounts of money. High school players are asking for ridiculous amounts of money. And a lot of this is uncontrollable because the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the NIL. But the whole agent influx and influence goes back to the Condoleezza Rice Committee, remember, mm-hmm. that Mark Emmert set up to fix college sports. And their main recommendation was to allow agents to have contact with players. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, like saying to let the fox into the hen house. And the agents have completely taken over these negotiations. And, it's professional sports. There's no doubt about that. And Jim and a lot of other coaches, Jay Wright several years ago, Tony Bennett this fall, just said, I want to be a basketball coach. I don't want to be a player broker, a CEO. And Jim's 75 years old, as you mentioned. He has a bad team. He told the story at his press conference the other day that right after they went to the Final Four, 8 of his players who should have been returning to a Final Four team opted out, said, no, we want to go someplace where we can get paid more. We like it at Miami. We enjoy playing for you, but we want to follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, and they haven't been the same since. They weren't the same last year, and they just got through losing to Mount St. Mary's. And I'm sure a guy like Jim looks at that and says, there's no way out. I'm 75 years old. We're not going to get better. And so he turned the program over to Bill Courtney, who's been an assistant of his for a long time at a lot of places. And he's riding off into the sunset. And again, it's not good for college sports when guys like Jim Larrañaga just say they've had enough.
Right. Yeah, it's one thing to say, I'm just tired. I've coached too long. I'm I need to step down and let someone else do it. It's another thing when you step down because of the system that has been created.
Right. So, well, remember what Tony Bennett said in his press conference.
Right.
I'm a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these guys, especially older guys who've had accomplishments, feel that way.
Yeah. All right. So before we let you go, your thoughts on the game on Sunday night, Commanders, Falcons. Falcons are going with a rookie quarterback, Michael Penix, because Kirk Cousins has been benched. So and Penix was pretty good last week, even though he didn't have to do much. It was the Giants that they were playing.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is a big one.
I could have quarterbacked them last week and they could have won.
Correct.
I'd love to see that.
That would be fun to watch.
Well, I'm a lefty like Penix, so why not?
Yeah. So your thought on this game? We just don't know what to expect from Penix.
No, we don't know what to expect from Penix. Now the Falcons are playing for their lives.
Yeah.
The Commanders are already going to be in the playoffs. We know that, and so you wonder if they might have a little bit of a letdown. But I don't think they will. I think they're fired up.
Let's well, Washington's not officially in the playoffs yet.
No, but they're going to be in the playoffs.
Okay, yeah, they get
they're
one win.
Be in
yeah.
The playoffs. Yeah. They finish with Dallas, and Dallas, I know Dallas has won some games recently, but they're still not very good. Although I predicted they'd yes. lose to the Commanders.
And they came in here and won the
they
game.
They beat them.
Right.
Yeah. So it shows, I don't know why you guys ask me for my expertise on games week in and week out, because if anything, if you're a better, you should say, okay, Feinstein says X, I'm betting
Fade
Y.
Him. Fade Feinstein. Yeah. That should be your next yeah. book, Fade Feinstein.
Could be my next book. Probably sell. That's the sad thing. I think Washington should win the game, but I wouldn't be at all shocked if Atlanta wins the game.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to have
a good cop out.
Yeah.
We're going to have Coach Cooley on next. Have you been impressed with what he's done so far at Georgetown?
Yeah, I mean, they're off to a good start. They brought in a lot of new players. Ed Cooley's a good basketball coach. I mean, I could have told you that before he coached a game at Georgetown. He's a good basketball coach and a good guy. I like the direction both Georgetown and Maryland are headed in right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, John, we'll talk to you next week because we got Coach Cooley coming up next. That's John Feinstein, bestselling author, Washington Post columnist.
Yes, sir.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and I look forward to talking to you guys in 2025.
Yes, sir. All right, take care, man.
Of course, John's brought to you by Golfdom, where they can custom fit you for any clubs, including the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway. You can visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for winter golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. It's a football Friday, so we've got Scott Abraham on the Commanders coming up at 9 o'clock. Then we're going to make our official picks for this game, Commanders and Falcons, coming up at 9:20. But next, talk a little college hoops. Georgetown's off to a great start. Their head coach, Ed Cooley, joins us next. Here on The Junkie.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. And of course, you can watch us every day on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It is Football Friday. We're packed. We'll get into Commanders Falcons with Scott Abraham from ABC7 coming up at 9. Make our picks coming up at 9:20. But we're going to get back into some college hoops. Georgetown off to a really nice start this season. Their head coach, Ed Cooley, in his second season here at Georgetown, joins us right now. What's going on, Coach?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How's it going?
Good morning,
Doing well.
Coach.
You know, before we dive into your season, kind of want to reflect on the Larrañaga decision. So we knew Larrañaga back when he was at Mason because we worked in Fairfax, yeah. And he used to come in studio with us. Really good guy. And he talked about it yesterday, your perspective, that he lost 8 guys to the portal after they were in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's the landscape we're in, and it's not perfect. We have to find a solution for this. Again, here we have 14 new players on my roster this year.
Wow. That's crazy.
14. And that's what we coaches and ADs and presidents are dealing with. I had an opportunity to talk to Dave Green, our COO, the other day, just about the ever-changing landscape of this. And we either lean into it or we're going to get lost because it's not changing, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we have the mindset to try to help our young men still understand the value of education? Yes, money is a big part of people's decision, but is it keeping the main thing the main thing? And I wish I had an answer, but I can see the frustration. I deal with the frustration. The same thing, a Jay Wright, a Tony Bennett, Coach K, Roy Williams.
Yep.
What do we do about it? And Coach Larrañaga was and is one of the better people I've met in our business, and the business lost another really, really good coach.
I'm sure there's a list of things, Coach, that you think should change, but what's the number one thing that needs to change about the portal? In your opinion?
There has to be some guardrails around it, right? I mean, what we're doing right now isn't real life, mm-hmm. right? This isn't real life business, you know. So I think there has to be some guardrails on it. The NCAA has to figure it out. The federal government has to figure it out. The colleges have to figure it out. There has to be some sort of something in place that controls or attempts to control just the wildlife that this is, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of bring back some normalcy to the sport.
What does this new revenue sharing plan that they're going to switch into, as opposed to just the collectives, where you basically have a salary cap? I think it's $22 million, something like that, per school. Is that going to make things better for teams like Georgetown or schools like Georgetown?
I think it will. I mean, the one thing the Big East has is it's a basketball-centric conference, and we don't have to deal with the juggernaut of football.
Right, right.
So that's another 85 student-athletes that the present athletic directors don't have to worry about. So I think it could be a positive for the Big East. I think it would be a positive for Georgetown. We just got to figure it out, not so much just from the revenue share for men's basketball, but for all of college sport, you know. And then you have the Title IX piece to it, the equity part piece to it. This is just a large, large landscape that's continuing to move.
Right.
So you guys are off to a 10-2 start, 2-0 in the Big East, and you just mentioned how you have all these new players, and we can talk about some of the transfers, but you got a special freshman in Thomas Sorber. Talk about his game and what he's brought to the program.
Well, one of the more unique personalities we've coached. He's an energy giver. He's one of these men that don't have a bad day, right? Mm. The minute he walks in the gym, he puts his arm around his teammates. He loves music. He's an inspiration to be around. And, you know, Jeff Battle, who was the lead recruiter for him coming out of Philadelphia, said, "Coach, I think we got something in this kid. Let's go take a look at him." And he just continues to improve. What an energy giver. I mean, one of the best energy givers I've been around.
Yeah. He had 19-8 in that, you know, win over Seton Hall. He's a big kid, too. Was he 6'10", 6'11"?
He's about 6'10", yeah. Right? About 260.
A big kid.
You know, I think the DMV has a couple of really special freshmen. You have a kid over at Maryland doing a really, yeah. really good job for Coach Willard. Those two kids have a really, really bright future in this game.
So you mentioned the fact that you had 14 new players. How much of a challenge was it, since you had so many new guys, to try and introduce the chemistry to start the year? And then I know you started off with a couple wins, then you lost to Notre Dame. But was it difficult? Was it a challenge to have all these guys just learning a new system to get the chemistry right with such a new roster?
It's a challenge, but that challenge is I embrace it. We embrace it as an organization. Get to know the people first versus their skill set. Mm-hmm. Put them in position of their own skill set. But ask them every day, how are they doing? What do you like? What don't you like? How do you like to be coached? We do a great evaluation of each student athlete with a profile, personality profile, with a gentleman named Chad Brown. And that really helps us help them. How they learn, the way they listen to, what are their values, what do they want to become, where are they at, where are they going. Those personality tests really help us as an organization balance each player as an individual to collectively come together as a unit. We use a lot of terms like, you know, we, never me, 17 all in because we have 17 players, four of which are walk-ons. So it's a challenge, but it's also fun because you see the different personalities, and when it does come together as we're starting to, the cohesive unit is just fun to be around.
Talking to Coach Ed Cooley, second season at Georgetown. They're off to a 10-2 start, 2-0 in the Big East. And you mentioned education being a big part, and Georgetown's a great school. But I remember Jason in particular last year, whenever it happened, when Malik Mack decided to leave Harvard, Jason was like, I can't believe a Harvard kid is leaving for Georgetown. And it's a great...
Not like Georgetown's a bad school.
But he's an Oxon Hill kid, too.
No,
so he's
no,
a local.
No, it's not a bad school. My daughter's a graduate of it, and I know exactly what we paid to send to here.
Yeah.
How much is it? Because my kid's a senior.
Yeah.
You know, it's hey, keep working, brother.
Keep working. Keep getting the income.
Keep getting the income. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
But talk about Mac's decision to leave Harvard and come join you guys, and then talk about his impact on your team so far.
Well, the impact of Mac, I love that. I'm going to steal that one from you today. It is, obviously, leaving Harvard, you're only going to go to X amount of schools in the country, and we feel Georgetown is right there from an academic standpoint where he doesn't take, quote-unquote, a step back, right? And again, when you look at the landscape of NIL and an opportunity to earn as well as get a quality education, you know, his family had to make a tough decision.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when myself and LaDonte Hinton went up there to sit down and talk to him, and I talked to Coach Amaker. Amaker said, I won't let this kid leave unless he chooses one or two schools that, you know, when he's done with basketball, he has this background to fall back on. And I feel his impact on the team is getting better and better. He's coming off an injury. Hopefully he's ready to play on Saturday. But he's just another person who is, he can do it three different levels. He can score it, pass it, right, becoming a better defender. We love him. We love him, and he's been so impactful to our program. And he and I go back and forth against Sauber as well, off topic, big Commanders fan. Big Commanders fan.
Oh, I bet.
What do you think about Sunday night?
Oh, I'm juiced for it. I can't wait. I'm excited about it. You know, when you look at culture change, when you look at trying to flip an organization, what Coach Quinn has done with his team and his staff and, you know, and the administration there, you got to give them a lot of credit. Like, the joy and energy that they're bringing to the district is amazing, and I'm grateful for it because I can feel the energy everywhere we go.
So, Coach, JP mentioned you got a couple conference wins here early. Man, conference play starts so early. December 18th, I think, is when you guys played Creighton. But
right.
you went up to Jersey. You beat Seton Hall. Never an easy place to play. You guys were up 11 with, 4 minutes to go. And then they made
actually 351. It was 351. You know,
351.
Yeah, he hit a three from the corner. And then, oh, man, the building almost collapsed.
Right. Talk about the ending of that game when they went on a 10-0 run. I know that you guys had some turnovers, some missed free throws. But talk about holding on to win up in Seton Hall.
Well, Malik Mack didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Epps goes down with a contusion on his leg. He couldn't play. Peavy fouled out. So, now we're piecemealing it, right? I mean, those are our three primary ball handlers. I think Curtis Williams came in and made a big, big, big three.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you just never know an opportunity knocks. And at the end of the game, we had a walk-on. We had two freshmen and two sophomore on the floor.
Wow.
And, you know, they're in the heat of the battle. So, we didn't finish the way we wanted to, but we found a way to land the plane, right? We found a way to win the game. Everybody's always, when we're flying, man, it's turbulent up here. Man, we're jumping around. Oh, man, I hope this thing gets down. We landed the plane, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We got it down, wheels on the ground. Everybody's clapping. Everybody's smiling. Whoo! You know, the thing that Seton Hall does a great job of is they're very disruptive defensively. Right. Very, very, very physical.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, they're limited in some of the ways they score, but they're always in the game because they guard the hell out of you. And we were fortunate to walk away with a win. Anytime you get a road win, man, you get out of there before they take it back.
You take those conference roadies. Right. I didn't realize your top three ball handlers were out of the game at the end. Wow.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, Nomac, I think S went down with about 8 minutes, and then PB fouled out with about 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was, I'm looking down at the bench. I'm looking at the coaches. I'm like, I don't know if we put Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles in, but we got to put somebody in there. Right? I don't know who the hell we put in the game.
That's
so
funny.
So you got Coppin State on Saturday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
And kind of during this time period, you get geared up because then it's going to be Big East after that.
Sure.
Yeah, you got Marquette and UConn early in January.
How do you kind of look back at this back stretch heading into when it gets heavy Big East play?
I think it's critical. I mean, I think right out the gate, you know, we play Coppin and hopefully we can play well, continue to improve and, you know, get us another home win. And then, you have Marquette, who I think is, you know, will have a chance to go to a Final Four. And then you follow that up. I mean, you got Xavier first, then Marquette, then Connecticut, then St. John's. And right now, on paper, they're the four best teams in our league. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely going to be a challenge, two at home, two on the road. We're asking, you know, we have to do a better job here, continue to gain the trust of the DMV area. We have to try to create a home court advantage, which I haven't had as the head coach here, with our students, our supporters, all our alum that are in the area. We just need Capital One to start turning over to create that buzz, to create that excitement, to try to give us a chance when we do play these high, high-level games. Because, again, when you go on the road here in the Big East, you're down 7 or 8 getting off the bus or getting off the plane, mm-hmm. right? Just on energy and excitement, and hopefully little by little that'll start to change at Capital One.
Hey, I wanted to ask you something. I saw on Wikipedia, and it could be wrong, that it said that you used to go to church with Dan Hurley. All right. Have you been watching some of these Dan Hurley screaming hot? Like, what's going on, man? The guy's won a couple of national championships. It looks like he's losing it.
That's his personality, man. That's just the way he is.
Well, you know, when I lived in Rhode Island, he and Andrea lived about a 7-iron away from Norris and I. Hmm. And they went to church and worked out. I think if Danny and I walked into a church, you know, it would start shaking. You know, the building would start shaking. Right. You know, the ground would start cracking. Danny is very, very possessed. Mm-hmm. He has a drive and a tactic that works for him. Mm-hmm. Right. I do not fault anything he does. He's a winner. I mean, he came from high school to up the coaching ranks. You got to give that guy all the credit in the world with his staff on how he built his own identity in the shadow of his dad and his brother. So there's probably an edge there that is internal that a lot of people just wouldn't understand. They're looking at what the external things are with him and his sideline demeanor. Mm-hmm. That's not him as a person, right? I mean, if we're judged by how we work and what we do at work, I don't know if that's fair. But at the end of the day, he's done a hell of a job. He has a hell of a team, mm-hmm. right? Hell of a team. And I mean, he'll probably end up in a Hall of Fame with his dad.
You know, when he was talking to the Lakers in the offseason after, after he won the national championship, I was kind of surprised, but kind of like what we're talking about now, Coach. I figured he was just done with the NIL stuff and the portal, and the game has changed so much and the system has changed so much in college that he just wanted something different. And he flies out there and he's talking to those guys. He's talking to the Lakers front office. And I don't know what the discussions were, but he decides, you know what, it's not for me. I'm going back to UConn, gets another contract. When you heard that he was going out there and talking to them, was that surprising to you?
No.
No.
It's a lot of money offered.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? And again, we tell our players this, if you chase money, you miss the opportunity. If you chase opportunity, you surpass money. Hmm. And I think he knows who he is. 82 game stretch in the NBA I think college is more of a coaches league, coaches run organization. The NBA is a players led organization. And then you got to deal just with stuff you're not accustomed to. So would it take them a year or two to get used to being a NBA coach? Cause the NBA game is basically a different game than college, right?
Oh yeah.
It's a totally different lifestyle. Living in Los Angeles, did he want to move his family out there? He made the right decision for himself, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know if money was the driving factor as it was just it was different.
Right.
Right? You know, all of us look, hey, you know, should we do something different? How would it be to do this? How would it be to do that? So I think in the end, for him to go out there and sit and talk to him, obviously he was very, very interested. But at the end of the day, he probably had a heart to heart with his bride and said, you know, let's stay here, do what we're doing, continue to do what we're doing. Let's chase a three-peat, which hasn't been done since, I think, Wooden, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good for him and his family, though, right? It's always good to be wanted. It's always good to have decisions in your own hand. And, you know, never know what can happen in the future with him. Never know. He's a good person, though, and we're glad that UConn is in the Big East.
Well, Coach, we want to have you on the show more frequently, to use your word wanted. You're wanted to join us a little more frequently. Mm-hmm. Just two wins in the Big East last year. You're already off to the 2-0 start this year. Congrats on the early season turnaround. Keep it going, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Looking forward to coming back on again. I hope you guys have an incredible 2025 year, and anytime you guys want me on, just give us a call. We appreciate it.
Very cool.
You got it. See you, Coach.
Coach Ed Cooley.
Good luck.
Second season at Georgetown. Look, well, he inherited a tough situation because Patrick took over the program, and you know, yeah. I think he got him in the tournament once,
mm-hmm.
and it just got
just crumbled.
Ugly.
Yeah, it got really
ugly. At the
ugly.
End for Patrick Ewing, and Cooley, of course, had a lot of success at Providence.
Yep.
Taking the team to tournament constantly, Sweet 16s and that sort of thing, but that's still a tough turnaround. But man, 14 new players?
I mean, I can't imagine.
And that's kind of how it is everywhere.
And I didn't want to ask him on the air because it kind of puts him in a bad spot, but this kid, this freshman, Sorber, mm-hmm. Thomas Sorber, if he's like a stud, which he looks like he is, he's 6'10", 260.
Averaging almost nearly a double-double. It's like 16-8 guy right now.
Yeah. I mean, what if one of these Power 4, Power 5 conference schools say, come on out, Kansas, and says, you know what, we'll give you $2 million. He's got to deal with that. He's got to try and convince him to stay, and I don't know if he can convince guys like that, but we'll see.
Got to get your Georgetown alums to throw in some cash.
That's true.
Get that collective to grow. It's just a totally different game. Remember, we got Scott Abraham coming up at 9 o'clock as we'll get into Commanders Falcons. Next, we'll go around the league with the Junkies Blitz. You got 3 games tomorrow, more games on Sunday. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. On a football Friday, we will get into the Commanders game against the Falcons coming up on Sunday night.
We'll take some calls, too, to get your thoughts on the game and your predictions.
I was going to be there, but remember, EB said that his brother was harassing him
mm-hmm.
to get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Bickle do?
Threw it to you.
He threw it to me.
Yeah.
And
go take care of my brother.
One connection, and it really wasn't coming through. Now, he has a family of 5. Matt, he's got 3 kids. And I had 3 tickets for the Falcons game. And I just was like, you know what? When they flex that game, mm-hmm. I'm not as bad as you. I don't mind going to late night games. And I would be able to pull through. It'd be fine.
Because you have to work next morning. I don't. Yeah, so I can actually watch it live and I'll be okay.
But if I'm going to a Sunday night game, even if I left in the middle of the fourth quarter, I'm probably getting home to Gaithersburg 12:15 earliest.
Correct.
So let's say I fall asleep at 12:30. We're talking 4 hours of sleep.
Right.
So when I wasn't able to pull through with my connections, I was like, you know what? Let me just hook him with these tickets.
So you're giving the tickets to him.
Giving the tickets. It's in the suite. I told him, I was like, just tell him you're EB's brother. Like, I feel bad in a way because J-Dub's hooking.
He's hooking the junk cakes.
Yeah. And I'm passing to, I was like, or just come up with some sort of story and be like, yeah, my brother was supposed to come. You know, last minute.
He'll understand.
He couldn't pull.
He'll understand.
Yeah, it is what it
is. I mean, J-Dub will be bouncing around talking to a billion different people anyway.
That's the way it is. There's probably in that suite. It's a big suite. You stayed in a big suite in the Northwest suite.
Yep.
The Jason Wright suite. He's not the team president anymore. They hired that Campbell Soup guy, remember?
Right.
But it's called the president suite. There was probably about 40 people in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but great grub. Perfect 50-yard line spot.
Of course.
So
it's the way to watch a game. Man.
Anyway,
we get spoiled.
I'll be watching.
I could never go into the seats. I mean, it's not going to be cold on Sunday. It's actually going to be like 65, 67 degrees on Sunday. Now, it could rain in the morning or maybe early afternoon, but it's not going to be cold. So to sit outside in the seats will be fine. But that's the way to watch a game in the suites.
Time now for the Junkies Blitz brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture. Just going to mention briefly the game last night, 6-3. Caleb Williams, less than impressive.
the whole offense. Not
less
the defense.
Than impressive. Yeah. I find it hard to believe that Seahawks team can make the playoffs, but they can. They can get to 10-7. And you said, there's a scenario where you have to look at strength of victory if they end up tied with the Rams,
right,
who are an overwhelming favorite right now. I think percentages, they flashed on the screen last night. It was like 84% Rams make the playoffs, 16% Seahawks. I'm not sure how they came up with those probabilities. But, hey, that Seahawks team could get in, which, hey, first year for Coach McDonald, that would be an impressive run. But it's just hard to be impressed with anybody in a 6-3 game.
Yeah, it was bad. Like the Rams, like you said, they do play the Cardinals at home on Saturday night. They're the last of the triple header. They're a pretty big favorite to win that game, and that because the Cardinals are done. So who knows how many of their players they're actually going to play. And then the Seahawks, after winning last night, they're a game back in the loss column. So they would have to beat the Rams next week. They finish the regular season in L.A.
And then go to the tiebreaker.
And they go to the tiebreaker. So it could get a little confusing, but the Rams certainly need to beat the Cardinals.
It's possible. All right, so you got three games tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
1 o'clock, Chargers at the Patriots.
Yep.
Chargers are one of these teams. They're not in the upper echelon of the AFC, but Justin Herbert having a pretty good year. He doesn't have the gaudy numbers. They like to run the football. That's a Greg Roman offense. Mm-hmm. Valdez is very familiar with Greg Roman. But hey, first season for Harbaugh, he's had a turnaround, much like Dan Quinn has had here in Washington. They're headed to the playoffs, most likely. Herbert with those 18 touchdowns with just 3 interceptions. That's what he's done. He's taken care of the football.
Right, because his first 3 years, he had double-digit interceptions. Now, again, different style. They were throwing the ball a lot more. He was throwing the ball almost 700 times. This year, he's only got 430 attempts. So he's cut down the attempts, so the picks have gone down. But it's a different style, but they are 9-6. And they finish with New England this weekend in New England, and then they go to Vegas. They've already swept Denver, so they have the tiebreaker. So if they end up with the identical record, they have the tiebreaker over Denver. But they have 9 wins. They should get there because of the remaining schedule. Denver, on the other hand, has to play a really tough one tomorrow at Cincy.
Cincy, that's your 4:30 game. Bengals still have an outside shot of making the playoffs. They need help. So Broncos at 9-6, head to Cincinnati to take on a Bengals team that, of course, led by Joe Burrow. He's got 39 passing touchdowns, having a fantastic year. He'd be in the MVP discussion if the team was playing better. And then you mentioned the Rams-Cardinals game. That's your 8 o'clock game. Rams at 9-6, also battling to get into the playoffs.
So I'm guessing, I'm not factoring in the Dolphins because the Dolphins haven't officially been eliminated, so some tiebreakers would have to come into play. But if Cincinnati beats Denver, they obviously have the head-to-head tiebreaker. And then if Cincinnati closes out and wins their final game in the regular season and they finish 9-8, and then Denver finishes 9-8 because Denver has to finish with Kansas City. Now, the game for the Chiefs doesn't mean anything, so
Bengals have the Steelers.
I assume the Bengals have the Steelers. You're right. But I assume the Kansas City is going to rest a bunch of their players in Week 18. So Denver could win that game at home. But if they didn't and they both finish 9-8, then the Bengals have the tiebreaker over Denver.
So
that's a big game, too.
There's some kind of terrible matchups on Sunday, like Jets-Bills. We don't need to go through that. Raiders-Saints, Colts-Giants. Cowboys.
Well, the Bills still have to win because they want to hold on to that 2 seed. But they should win pretty easily.
That should be
they're a 10-point favorite.
Kind of interesting games to mention. The Cowboys-Eagles game, because you may have Kenny Pickett under center. We're not sure. Jalen Hurts in the concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys actually been playing much better football. Mike McCarthy probably, I don't know if it's probably, but he may have saved his job.
We'll see.
Jerry Jones seems pretty effusive when talking about Mike McCarthy lately. Bucks 8-7. They got to handle their business. Take on a Panthers team that's played better since Bryce Young returned as the starter. Bucks, of course, battling with the Falcons. Who's going to win that division? So they have something to play for. Titans-Jags game, that's a dog game. Dolphins-Browns, another dog game. But at 4:25, you got Packers-Vikings.
That's a biggie.
Vikings still have a chance to have the 1 seed at 13-2. Lions right now have the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
Philly trailing them. But the Vikings are right there at 13-2. But take on a Packers team, and this is potentially interesting for Commanders fans because the Packers could slide back.
Correct.
They're the sixth seed right now, could slide back to the seventh seed.
Yeah, who do you like in that game? Vikings at home. Guess I like the Vikings, just
yep.
home field advantage. And Jefferson's going to be very tough to deal with. But
Vikings only laying a point.
Only a point. You know, and they've won eight straight.
Wouldn't be stunned either way. Division game.
Can't believe they've won
they
eight straight.
They know each other.
Yeah.
Jordan Love's been playing pretty good football of late, but Darnold's been playing great.
Yeah, and Detroit plays on Monday night in San Francisco. Now San Francisco is dead, and who knows how many of their regulars are going to play. They're banged up. But Detroit still has to hold on to that one seed, and they're trying. So there's still some interesting matchups, even though some of these teams are probably going to bench some of their players.
But yeah, if you're a Commanders fan, I think the game that you have to watch is that 425 Packers game. And I guess you're rooting for the Vikings. You're rooting for the Vikings because you want the Packers to crumble here down the stretch.
Right.
And you want Washington to surpass them.
Well, and then Washington just has to handle their business.
If you want to stay away from Philly in the first round.
Correct. Well, and then if you want to avoid having to win the Dallas game on the road, because I think Tampa's going to beat the Panthers. So if you lose to Atlanta, they have the tiebreaker. Tampa already has the tiebreaker. So take care of your business so you don't have to worry about Week 18.
Coming up at 9:20, we're going to touch the people, talk to Commanders fans about this game with the Falcons, your expectations. What do you want to see on Sunday night against Atlanta and the team led by Michael Penix Jr.? But next, we're going to dive deeper into the details. Our guy Scott Abraham, ABC7 sports director and anchor, will join us as we talk Falcons Commanders on a Football Friday on The Fan.